going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Lots going on in the world of baseball. We were just talking about Bob Nutting's eye-opening quotes to Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette, with Nutting basically positioning himself, and this would be a first, as a voice for the smaller markets in upcoming CBA negotiations. And then Jason said, well, what changes would you want to affect? And he said, I don't know, Bob. That doesn't exactly leave me encouraged here.
No, that was the time to be very, very clear and precise. Salary cap floor. That's going to be what I will hopefully be known for, as the man who stood up to most of this and try to make change in the system.
Well, let's talk to Bill Madden of the New York Daily News. It says Nightingale. I thought it was Madden came up on my screen. Holy bird milk. It's Bob Nightingale of USA Today. Bob, my apologies for confusing you with Bill Madden. Is that an insult or a compliment?
Bill's all respect. So no, not insult at all. No problem.
Well, the topic is the same here. And let's just get right to it. The CBA, new CBA, isn't long off here. And everybody's wondering, certainly around here, is where will the Pirates and the smaller market teams be positioned when this happens? Is there any chance for a salary cap?
Well, I mean, they'll fight for it once again. They have in the past. Remember the last CBA, the owners said, hey, how about a floor? And the union said no. Just because I think the union thought that, hey, if there's a floor, it means next time up you're going to do it, you're going to insist on a cap. So that's why they fought the floor. But there's going to be some massive changes. I mean, if it's not a cap and never has been, union says it never will be, maybe even stiffer penalties. Obviously, the money doesn't deter teams from spending a lot of money. But if you start losing draft picks, things like that, then it will.
Bob, we've seen other sports take the gigantic step of locking out or shutting down. If there was a group of, you know, smaller, I use the word small only because we have to in this case. In other sports, you never hear the word small. We're talking about Pittsburgh. But if there would there be enough strength to force this kind of thing to happen? The owners in general, would they ever come together to the point where they would say it's necessary? Other sports have done it. We saw what it did for hockey. It made things a lot better. Do you ever see that potentially happening down the road?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, there was a big fight there after the COVID as far as, when to start the season back up, the 60 games, that sort of thing. And then recently the executive committee vote, there was 8 guys among the players. They voted, hey, no, let's don't start the season up. We don't like it. And the rest of the players said, wait a minute now, we'll take that deal. So that's where we start playing, The problem is, owners, everybody's making so much money, players, owners, is that I'm not sure the owners would want a lockout. I'm not sure, but, we all saw what happened in 94, 95, how long it took the sport to recover after that. It took McGuire and Sosa, and since there's steroid testing now, I'm not sure we can count on that again. So they could have some kind of, I think everybody expects there's going to be a lockout. But how long it goes, that's a big question.
You hit upon something there, too, which is everyone's making money, which is, to me, a blanket statement, but I think it's true. Everyone's making money, even teams that don't do well and finish at the bottom. You know, the Pirates find themselves in this position where there is some reporting here locally that says they lose money or at least lost money last year. Others don't believe that. When you say everyone's making money, is that true of the Pittsburgh Pirates?
No, I mean, the only teams I can say that aren't making money on the two teams with massive payrolls. The New York Mets, I think they lost over $200 million last year. They also had a $300 million plus payroll. The Padres lost some money too, with the massive payroll. But those are the two teams I heard that actually lost. Maybe I think the White Sox lost for the first time in a bit. Their tenants dropped. But the Pirates and those teams, they get the revenue sharing money. they're making money, which infuriates the union and infuriates, you know, a lot of owners too. It's like, you know, teams should, there's no reason for teams at least get close to the luxury tax. So when people look at the Pirates and say, wait a minute now, you shouldn't have a lower payroll than, you know, than the Royals or the Brewers. Diamondbacks are a bigger market, but not that much bigger market, you know, that sort of thing. So I think that's why it looks bad when a team's not spending any money at all and cries poor when other small market teams are spending money and making it work.
USA Today's Bob Nightingale is on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Bob, in fact, in your notebook, I think it was this week, you say Pirates are, quote, one of the most profitable teams in all of baseball. And this is an exact quote from your piece. You said the Pittsburgh Pirates, according to information received by the Players Union and confirmed by several owners, are one of the most profitable teams in all of baseball, stashing a huge chunk of their revenue sharing monies instead of investing in their team year after year. That quote has gotten some pushback locally. Tell us about, you know, is that according to the Players Union or just tell us about your reporting there?
Well, yeah, the Players Union gets the information from MLB. They get the raw numbers too. So they know who's making what. The owners know who's making what too. And they'll tell you that, you know, the Pirates are top five, if not top three, most profitable franchises. So, I mean, obviously owners can do what they want. They're owners for a reason. Most of them are billionaires, you know, you get in the business to make money. So it's like, you know, but you can't say you're not making money. If a guy, say a Bob Nutting, and not just picking a Bob, but you know, any owner, if you put your team up for sale, you're going to have guys lying around the block trying to buy it. The guy in Pittsburgh, the producer,
Thomas
Tall, the Pirates for a long, long time. So, you know, people know it's profitable. If it wasn't profitable, you'd have a hard time, you know, selling a team. And people want to buy sports teams.
Yeah, that's the thing. Now, in a recent chat with Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette, Bob Nutting indicated he would like to be a person of change. How far can he go with that is what I'd like to know.
I'm not sure. I mean, the guy that does most of that, the kind of point person, is, you know, their small market team is in Denver with Dick Monfort. I know they're all over him for not spending either, and they draw pretty well. Their TV money, you know, is small, you know, less than the Pirates. I would think he'd be more the point person to represent the small market teams and not Bob, just because he's just more involved with all the labor stuff. And if I can recall right, I don't remember seeing those owners meetings with the labor stuff. I don't remember Bob being on those committees. You know, maybe wrong, but I don't remember them. He certainly wasn't on those committees during the labor strife.
Bob, percent chance we'll see a salary cap in the next CBA?
I'd say maybe 1%.
Yeah.
I think they'll change something, make it, you know, even tougher. Like I said, maybe loss of draft picks or something, because the money isn't stopping it. And the money's not stopping it because there's so much money made in the game. So people say, okay, I'll pay the taxes, no big deal. Because I'm still making money. So I think that's why some of the small market teams, you know, the big market teams get frustrated, like, wait a minute now, we're all chipping in, you're making $67 million off revenue sharing, put this back in the team, start spending during the winter. And the thing that, of course, goes against the problems of small market teams is when you see what Tampa Bay does year after year and the Milwaukee Brewers do year after year. Two very small market teams, smaller than Pittsburgh, and they're in the playoffs consistently year after year.
I do agree with that. I want to ask you something about that in a minute, because there is one disagreement with that. But a salary floor, a lot of people talk about. Percent chance we'll see that, and can that even be something to talk about realistically if you don't have a cap in conjunction with it?
I think we could see that. The union might say, okay, you know, let's do that. We're talking to you cap, you know, we'll give you something else in exchange. But there should be a floor of at least, low $100 million type thing. Why not? I mean, look at Oakland A's. I'm not in Sacramento, but they spent money this free agent winter. I mean, they got Severino for $67 million over 3 years, started locking guys up to long-term deals. And they only did that because there was a lot of pressure from the union to say, you know what, we're going to file a grievance here because you guys are pocketing money and we know that you're going to lose. So the A's agreed to that. So I think the same thing here. You hate for the union to have to step in all the time and say, you better spend or there's a grievance. But that seems to happen. And the A's never spent that kind of money until they were forced to.
Bob, what is the perception of the Pittsburgh Pirates nationally? I mean, we get it here locally, and we're very close to it, obviously. But what is it from afar?
Well, just, disappointing that they don't, spend money and, and have a better team surrounding that young pitching staff, led by Paul Skeens. I mean, even spring training, you talk to guys like Cubs players and guys like that saying, man, that young rotation, that's the best young rotation in our division. No one's spending big money. No one's on electric tax in the Central. If you got a chance to win, you're going to win in the NL Central. And the Pirates didn't, build around it. So I think everybody knows it's such a great sports town, great baseball town. That's one of my favorite cities to go to. I love Pittsburgh. And there's no more beautiful ballpark, in baseball. I don't think there's even one close. So it's almost like just a shame where people feel sorry for, man, remember what it was like there, when they had those wild card games and the wild card waiver wearing black. It's just so electric. You just hate to see what it is now because there's such a prime opportunity to bounce back and be a contender, particularly in the Central.
Well, Bob, you mentioned a couple of things there. I mean, the A's, I guess, were compelled to spend more, but the Pirates still spend $15 million more than them. So if the union was trying to get them to spend a ton of money, that didn't work. And the other thing is that the Cubs, you mentioned the NL Central, there is one team that's spending almost $200 million on players, and that's the team in first place. Like, generally, I agree with what you're saying, that the low payroll is no excuse not to win. There's too many teams who have won. But it's also true, and my partner here, Bob, often points out that you have a much, much, much better chance if you're one of the biggest spenders in the sport to win. Like you definitely get what you pay for the most part in Major League Baseball. Would you agree with that?
Well, the money lets you cover up mistakes. Mm-hmm. So if the Pirates make a mistake at a guy making $20 million a year or say $25 million a year, it can be catastrophic. Where a big market team with the Yankees or Dodgers just shrug it off, no big deal. So it gives you a lot more flexibility in taking gambles where you better be right if you're a small market team, that sort of thing. But here's Chicago. I mean, the fans were outraged at the Cubs all winter long for not spending either. And like you said, they do have about a $200 million payroll, 190s, but they're still way below the luxury tax. And, the fans there say, wait a minute now, how come the Padres are one of the smallest markets in baseball? How come they have a bigger payroll? So, the Cubs do have almost a $200 million payroll, but it's not like if you're the Colorado Rockies playing in the National League West or Tampa Bay playing the AL East when those payrolls are over $300 million.
Bob, you had said earlier that the percentage chance of a full-scale salary cap is 1%. What would be the percentage chances of a floor at least getting done in this next CBA?
I could see that, possibly, like 50-50 type thing. But, if you get a floor, I'm sure, MLB is going to want something in return. So if you don't get a cap, what is there? Something. I think a lot of the owners would like to have a floor too, particularly the teams that, put in the money for revenue sharing. Teams like the Dodgers, Yankees, Mets say, wait a minute now, where is that money going that we have to pay each year? We don't want to just, line owners' pockets and let them make a profit. They should be trying to win just like we are. Not every team obviously can afford a Juan Soto, but certainly teams can afford a Luis Severino, who signed for $67 million over 3 years. in, you know, what is it, the Pirates haven't had a signed a multi-year contract or free agent, you know, since 2014. And that's crazy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
So how, what would be reasonable, do you think, for the Pirates? Because that's the story of the day here, is where they're positioned and how Bob Nutting's going to try to be a champion of the smaller market. I've often said, you know, at least spend to Milwaukee levels, get up around $110 million or so, and, you know, teams win with that. The Guardians win every year with that. Milwaukee wins almost every year with that. I say about $110 million is reasonable. You?
Or even high. I mean, what's Kansas City's 130? Go up to 130.
Yeah.
But you know, it's almost like you have a better argument if you give yourself a chance to win and then can't. You know, it's almost like you can't say, you know, you got to at least try. So I think that's the argument against. It's like, you know, hey, if you're spending, you know, 130, 140, and can't compete with the you know, Dodgers, Yankees, that sort of thing. Okay, it's a better argument than saying, we're not even trying here. We're not going to try to, we're not, you know, building around a Paul Skeens and a young pitching staff where, you know, take advantage of that. You know, you don't want people to say, well, if they don't lock up Paul Skeens, they should trade him. I mean, you hate to have that narrative around Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but that's going to certainly be the narrative, I'm sure. Which leads me to this, Bob Nightingale of the USA Today with our special guest here. This offseason, the Pirates came off a year where they were like 28th overall in offense, and they had Skeens. You saw what he did. He was the odds-on favorite to win a Cy Young this year going into the season. Knowing he's there, knowing they had Jared Jones kind of come out of nowhere last year, and they have Bubba Chandler, were you surprised the lack of offensive talent that they spent on during this past offseason, given, you know, a window that exists probably for another three or four more years?
I was. That's why you had players talk about it all spring on different teams. Like, man, what a shame there. It's like, you know, that young rotation, they can do damage. I mean, it's very similar. You know, they got a little bit bigger payroll in Seattle. It was the same thing in Seattle. Like, oh, my God, we had the best pitching staff in baseball. And, you know, all they spent was getting, you know, Polanco back at $7 million. And they didn't try to build around it. So, you know, that it was the same narrative in Seattle. You know, a little bit more richer payroll, bigger market, that, you know, bigger TV market, and that sort of thing. But yeah, take advantage of that great young pitching. You know, you even have the argument there in Baltimore. You know, their payroll is still low. It's like, man, you have all these great position players. You know, come in and get some great pitching. You know, keep Corbin Burns. You know, at least make a run for Max Fried, and that sort of thing.
I guess low is all in the eye of the beholder, because Orioles are spending, you know, $165 million. So is that low or high?
Well, still, you know, low. I mean, what's luxury tax is like $240, but they were below $100. They were below $100 for years. You know, they just started to spend this past winter only because they got, you know, salary arbitration, that sort of thing. I didn't even think it was $160. I thought it was more like $120, $130. But yeah, I mean, but they didn't spend much in the off season either, and they just, you know, got guys like, you know, Charlie Morton for $15 million and Sugano from Japan, Kyle Gibson. So they kind of went in the cheap, and they're paying the price. I mean, they're probably the most disappointing team in baseball right now.
Bob, we appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bob.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm with him on that last one, Bob. I think the Orioles' problems have been more injury. I mean, my God.
They do have a ton of injuries, yeah.
And this is according to SpotRac. The Orioles are spending $165 million. So we get back to the age-old question. I mean, if I've been writing sports here other than hockey for 25 years, a lot of that has been spent talking about the economics of baseball, although I've cut back on that a little bit because it was too mind-numbing. The Pirates are 26th in payroll. Okay, they're a bottom five team along with Tampa, Oakland, Chicago, Miami. How much should they spend? How unfair is it in baseball? All of those questions come up, Bob. And what will Bob Nutting be fighting for? He's not getting a salary cap. That's not going
to
happen.
He said 1%, so that's next to impossible.
Unless they're willing to lock out players for a year. And the age-old question for me, it's the same reason I used to ask, why did Bill Belichick engage in spying on other teams with such an extravagant system if it wasn't working for him? I asked the same question about Bob Nutting and other small market owners who sign off on these CBAs without a peep. If it's so bad for them, if there's not something in it for them, then why are they so eager to sign off on it? You know
money.
What I mean? Right.
Because as Bob Nightingale just explained, there are two payment plans that come with revenue and then the outside stuff. It totals $120 million before they ever do anything. So they make that. And so you should be able to spend. This is the one thing that I think I'd like to see more of. Transparency when it comes to this. That revenue sharing money should be absolutely put to your salary. Anything you get there should be thrown at the salary and not other aspects of your organization. Because too many times we don't know where that money goes. Again, that's the transparency I want to talk about. And you'll never see their books, but if you really want to find out what they're making or not making, they would show you that.
They should be compelled, everybody should, to spend at least 100, maybe 100.
And that's why
million.
If they can get because a floor, I would like that. At least that's a step in the right direction.
If you can't, I know, but I see too many people, and Nightingale disagreed with this, but people like Passan and most people I see say, the floor and the cap are, you're not getting one without the other.
Well,
it's
good.
Either both or none.
But again, getting back to this original point that you had with Jason's thing, if he's willing to be the guy who wants to make change,
Bob Nutting,
show
yeah.
me.
Show
so
me.
So what kind of change can you do? And how much help do you need from other owners? Can you change their minds? If you want to be that person of change, go in there and go out of your comfort zone and challenge some of them. Challenge
their
the Mets,
response,
challenge the Dodgers
response,
and say, look what I'm dealing with here.
They'd you know, say, Bob, I just wrote you another check.
You
want
to know what you do?
That's what they would
here's
say.
Here's what you do.
What?
You charge them another tax on playing in Pittsburgh then. If I really want to shake up the waters here and make things crazy, I'll say, all right, fine. Then if you come to Pittsburgh, I'm going to order our government locally. When you play L.A. in here, we're going to – I'm just throwing this out.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Just to do something
right.
to get their attention.
Well, if I own the Dodgers, I'm saying, Bob, I'm already helping to fund your team.
True.
What more do you want? How about you spend more?
But they have to at some point get on the same page. You can't have, and like he said, the only two teams you knew of that were losing money are the teams that pay the highest.
Well, technically, they are on the same page. They all signed off on the last CBA because all of them are making money.
They're all making money. But my point is you can actually go out and try to win and lose money, and there's nothing wrong with that. The value of your franchise goes up every year. May not be as much as you like, but from where he bought it to where it is, there's a lot of money to be made if you should sell it, which is why there are people who are willing to buy teams all the time.
So there needs to be more fairness economically. I think
transparency
we all...
too. I want to see money go to the actual payroll.
Yeah.
And you're obligated to spend the revenue money on your payroll.
Yeah. I would agree. I think everybody agrees with that. So the payroll needs to go up. In the meantime, where the payroll is still no excuse for losing.
No, you can do a better job of drafting, developing, all of it.
The bottom 15 payrolls in baseball right now. The bottom 15. And all of them except Seattle are under $150 million. Under $150 million. Seven of the 15 have winning records. Two of them lead the divisions, and four of them are in playoff position. So be better. You know, just be better. And anybody out there, stop acting like it's impossible to win with a lower payroll. You can. And that's why Ben Cherington also needs to be held accountable. But the payroll should absolutely be well above 100.
Yeah. Because
both,
at least,
those things can be true.
Listen, my point all along about money, and it doesn't necessarily win championships, but it does give you an opportunity to win divisions almost every year. Look at the Dodgers, 14 out of 15 years. I mean, there's no coincidence. They spend a lot of money, and they'll continue to spend.
But Milwaukee wins this division every year.
I understand.
With a low payroll.
My point is, when you spend more, you have a better chance of winning, or at least getting to the postseason. I'm not guaranteeing anyone win a championship because the Yankees haven't done that for a long time. But you know that every year they're going to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
That's all I want, and that makes it at least level to some degree.
How do you propose getting there? Level
again,
between the Yankees and the Pirates?
You're going to have to shut it down. It won't happen. So this is a pipe dream. We talk about it every year. we're only talking about it now because Mr. Nutting seems to believe that he can make a change.
Yeah.
All right, well, show it. I want to see what you can
do. But he couldn't even tell Jason Mackey anything about what that change might look like. He couldn't just say, we need a salary cap or something. And he doesn't want to say a salary floor because that would compel
and
him
I
to spend
more. I would
give
him credit if he would just be the guy who sticks out like a sore thumb during these owners' meetings and union meetings and say, I'm the one who wants to change. I am standing up for us. And if you don't like it, so be it. I may not win this fight, but I want you to know this is not good for our system. And I would want to see that. Some little disturbance.
Yeah, and in the meantime, win. How about that on the money you got?
Well, that's,
Baltimore made the playoffs last year.
That's also a problem of who you hire and what you pour into your system.
Baltimore made the playoffs last year. Kansas City, Detroit.
Detroit may be a team that can win it all this year. I could make a case. They've done a tremendous job drafting and bringing in people.
Cleveland,
they have a really good team.
Cleveland won a division. They made the playoffs. Milwaukee won a division. Okay, so we're now up to five or six teams that made the playoffs that don't spend a lot of money.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, Bob. We're going to have Bill Madden on. I'm sorry for getting my Nightingales and Maddens confused. Let's talk about the ball club from this weekend. It was a rather
successful,
enjoyable series. I mean, and I like Don Kelly. I do like him. But it seems to me some people trying to extrapolate a bit much out of that series. Like, did you notice profound change? Maybe the vibe. I don't know. I'm not in the clubhouse. We're going to see, though. We're going to see coming up here with the Pirates' schedule if this really has made a difference. He is a very likable character. Do you know Don Kelly?
I know him briefly through Neil Walker, you know, and that kind of stuff. I know he's one of Jim Leland's favorites because of what he did as a player to sustain 9 years of a major league career. And he wasn't one of the most gifted guys you're going to find, but he worked his butt off to make sure he was on a roster and contributed any way he could. So I think those ingredients help him as a manager. But I thought the one thing I saw is that he was willing to play Gorski 3 days in a row, whatever it was.
I'd like to see that. Yeah.
Sometimes you want to see what guys have more than just one. And I would like to see that extend to Henry Davis at some point because they're 14-27. Realistically, they're not going anywhere.
Where would you play Henry Davis? I'm just curious.
I would probably figure out a way to move Bart into DH first base every now and then. Still catch because I think Davis needs to catch. And I think ultimately, down the road, he's going to be their best option there. I think Bart, or maybe it's somebody can play first base. They've tried 9,000 people over there.
Well, you just said Gorski.
Yeah, but I'm not willing to say he's going to be my first baseman in the future. I'm saying that as an example. He was willing to give a guy more than one game. I would like to see Henry Davis get that same courtesy and see what he does with it.
I just don't know where you put him. I think that Bart has become Ben Cherington's best acquisition. I think he's got some leader in him. And I think more importantly, he's a good hitter because I've talked about how the leadership is sort of an overrated thing.
Mm-hmm.
He is a good player.
He is a good player.
So I don't know where you put him. So you played the outfield
last year, DH. How about DH a little bit more?
I like him as a catcher.
All right, well then catch him and make Bart. You could do both for. I'm not saying for the rest of the season. I'm saying I want to see for an extended period what happens if he gets into some sort of a groove.
I'm not willing to give up on him yet, he's too much
he's too important.
Now, I didn't say I'd give up on him. I'm just trying to think of where to put him. If you put him at DH, then what about Kutch?
Again, you're 14-27. At some point you have to look ahead a little bit and try to figure out what I got moving forward.
That you know that's not an easy call though.
I know that's not an easy call. I get it. I'm not saying benching him. I'm saying moving him around. He played some outfield this year, mix and match. Use the DH once in a while for somebody. I just want to see younger players play so I have an idea of what is going to look like next year.
So do I, but I don't know where Henry Davis plays. He's one guy that are you still trying to win this year?
I'm trying to evaluate talent this year. I mean, if you think you're trying to win, fine. But honestly, how are they going to play the kind of baseball we've described in previous shows? The kind of win percentage it takes. It's not possible. I don't see that happening. Do you?
God, no.
All right. Then why would you not be hesitant about playing certain guys?
I'm not, Bob, but you said you'd play him at first base, but you also want Gorski to play every day.
I didn't say that. I said I like he got – all I said there was he got an extended look. I didn't
say – 3 days. I mean
– well, it could be more than that. Who knows about tonight? My point, I want to see a little bit of an extension of play time for Henry Davis, somewhere, somehow, mostly at bats. I need to see him bat come to life.
I get – well, you may be waiting a while.
Maybe,
what is
maybe
he
not.
123?
Joey Bart was released from San Francisco because they said he couldn't hit.
I know.
Okay. He was around longer there than Henry Davis has been here.
He wasn't hitting 123.
I'm just saying.
I just wonder about Henry Davis.
Again, it's so hit and miss on when he's in the lineup. My point is I want to see him play more and see what the answer is so that next year I don't have to go into the season saying.
I definitely understand what you're saying, but I just don't know where to play him. Bart's my catcher. Gorski's my first baseman. And then McCutcheon's actually not having a bad year at the plate.
Mix and match. Figure it out.
I guess. Has he played first base?
What would you do then? Are you telling me that you're just going to – you're trying to win apparently now?
No, I'd give Gorski a chance.
Okay.
Bart's my catcher, and he's a young guy. And then where else does Henry Davis play?
How about if Gorski goes the next week and he doesn't do much else?
What you're talking about is giving guys extended looks where they can fail
a
week.
I think a week. Well, I mean, you're not going to give him the rest of the year playing first base, are you?
Well, how about a month or two? Well, what are you talking about with Davis?
I'm talking about an extended look. In my view, is a sustained amount of at-bats over a week or two and see where that takes you.
All right.
That's all.
Then put him at DH. Make McCutcheon play the field for a little while. But it's not easy. And maybe for the time being, I mean, I have Skeens on the mound today, followed by Keller and Falter, and I'm going to have Chandler in that rotation.
Yeah, when's he going to come up?
Day.
How long are they waiting for him? I would have him come up.
And MLB Pipeline yesterday named him the number two prospect in all of baseball.
So,
how much would you get in a trade for him, just out of curiosity? Not that they're going to do it, but how much would you, if Bubba Chandler was made available?
A lot.
Would you do it if he got two legitimate bats?
Two legitimate bats? Like, we're talking like actual guys and Spencer Horwitz?
Maybe. I'd rather, now I'm going back. Would you?
I would listen to everything. I need to address this offense somehow, some way.
I want to have Skeens and Chandler in the same rotation. I want to see that.
I understand that. Plus, Jared Jones and Keller as 3 or 4, that's pretty good. But you also have to score runs. How many starts have they won with Paul Skeens because they haven't scored enough runs this year? I mean, that's the problem. You got to address this offense somehow, some way.
Well, then you better get young hitters who are already good. I'm not doing it for high hitting prospects.
Maybe there are guys out there. Maybe, you know, if there's, you don't think a team out there would want a Bubba Chandler going into the second half of the season who you can you could pry away some of their.
They would, but you better get guys who can already hit.
Okay.
Not prospect hitters.
I'm talking
no more
about
of those.
Legitimate hitters who are young and have, you know, guys who you would love to put in your lineup right now who can help your lineup right now.
Sure.
But I don't know if I do that. I'm just saying they should be looking, since they don't want to spend money in it, then you got to figure out something to improve this offense. If you're going to wait for Tamar Johnson and Connor Griffin.
Connor Griffin.
That's not the cost for me is Bubba Chandler. I want to see him. My God, you've put all this into the guy. I want to see him and Skeens at the top of my rotation. If your prospect pool is as deep as everybody says it is with pitchers, trade any other one of your pitchers.
Well, that's true. You could trade Ashcraft. You can trade Burrows. You
Harrington,
can trade Thomas Harrington.
How about Hunter Barco? 25 and a third innings at AA. Did not allow a run. It was just promoted to AAA and had a really good first start.
Well, good. If he continues that way, he could be one of those guys.
But to answer your original question, Bob, just because I don't think they're going to make a comeback this season doesn't mean I wouldn't be trying to win still now. I think, and more to the point, I think your best route toward winning is with some of these young guys. I'd be getting rid of the Tommy Pham's of the world, you know?
Well, yeah. Whatever you have to do to create, all I'm trying to say is you have to create opportunities. They won't do that because they paid him $4 million. He's looked at as some locker room leader, blah, blah, blah. They won't. He's going to play if he's healthy. I disagree with that.
I don't know. They've gotten rid of some guys over the years.
Okay. You think they would do that with him and the salary they gave him? That shouldn't be the reason you're keeping him, by the way.
No. It wasn't like they paid him like Mike Trout money. Well, what did they pay him? $4 million?
Right. $4 million.
Get him out of here.
Oh, they did give Rowdy Tellez as long as a leash as possible through May, and then he finally started hitting in June.
He did start hitting, and they got back into it by August. They were never really out of it until August last year.
I don't think they're going to move off of him right now with the $4 million number until July.
The $4 million number.
It shouldn't be a factor,
but
it is.
That's like me saying I won't move off of you because I lent you a quarter. $4 million? That's nothing.
Yeah, but Austin speaks the truth. That's how they're going to view this.
I don't know about that.
But I need my bottom line here of everything we just said. They have to get answers for next year. They have to. They have now. You have a nice opportunity for 4 months of seeing what you got. And let me see. Now, the other question is, Don Kelly, this is the conundrum they're in. Don Kelly wants this job.
Yeah.
You know, and so what does he have to show to get this job beyond this year? 500 the rest of the way?
Well, in your words, it's not really about winning. It's about development. So maybe some younger players developing under his tutelage.
That would be great. I'm just asking you what it would take. Tell me what it would take.
I don't think it's about necessarily a record. I think it's more about whether they come together and whether young guys improve, things like that.
All the more reason to play the young guys then.
Yeah, I never disagreed with that. The one guy I disagree with is Henry Davis.
But you say you're not giving up on him, but you got to do something, Joe, don't you? You got to figure out something
to
do with him.
Bob, he's 4-for-31. He's hitting 129.
31 at bats.
Maybe trade him. Maybe put him in AAA. Oh,
you're not going to trade him. I would want to see. Before I trade him, I want to get him on the right track and see what he can do. That's all I'm saying. I got to find out.
All right.
The last thing you'd want is to trade him.
So
and
you're
going to
put him at an unfamiliar position?
No,
like
I said I would put Bart maybe there if he's played some, or Bart as DH. Make McCutchen play right field here and there. I would do something so that I still would have some bats in the lineup, but I got to get Henry's in there somehow, somewhere.
It's a tough one. If you're Don Kelly, you probably are trying to win, and I don't know that Henry Davis helps you in that pursuit right now, honestly. Tommy Pham doesn't help you, does he, Limits?
No.
What would you do with Henry Davis?
I'd play him as well.
Where?
I'm with Bob. I'd play him almost every day that
Where?
You can. I would have him catch, and I would either have him try out first base or DH a little bit. And I would make the uncomfortable decision to either play McCutchen a little bit more in right or move Joey Bart to first and say, Spencer Horwitz, you platoon with Joey Bart.
How is that fair to Bart?
It's not, but you have to figure out. This guy you drafted number one overall. You have to know what you have with him.
You do. He has a career 186 average.
Again, it's sporadic playing. I know he played more last year, but I need to see more.
I'm trying to win for now. It's too early in the season just to say Henry Davis plays no matter what. For me, anyway. Go to AAA, and we'll call you when we need you. I got Bart as a
catcher.
They
have played
and I
41
get a look
games
at Gorski.
With the guys who you want to see play.
No, they don't.
Okay,
I don't want to see Pham play.
You're trying
play.
To win, you just said. And if they're going to put those guys out, they're 14-27 with those guys.
Which guys?
The ones that are already in the lineup.
Yeah,
I'm just suggesting.
Get Pham out of here. I would trade Cabrian Hayes would be another thing
They're
I would do.
Not going to do that. I would do it. You're not going to get all that much for
him. Yeah, Kiner Falefa's
although somebody would like a gold glove third baseman. I know that. But you'd have to have a team that already has a lot of hitting where he'd feel less.
In fact, if I'm Don Kelly trying to affect a new culture, you would have to produce to be in that culture. So accountability is something we talk about a lot. This guy's hitting 129. So go to AAA. Come back when we need you. You can get maybe an extended run of games then because somebody gets hurt, they always do, or underperforms. And then if you perform, you'll stay. If you hit 129, you won't. Now, Gorski has earned an opportunity at a position. I'd like to see him get a run of games. Maybe he'll fail eventually. Then you can't just throw Henry Davis at first base either. He's never played it.
A lot of guys haven't played it. Who are over there over the last few years. They throw people out there, and I'm just saying.
Who?
Well, people who are, they tried Brian Reynolds there in a
never in a game.
Not in a game, but they tried different people. So my point is, if you're going to do that, try to figure, it's not necessarily even first base. I just want to see him get some, if it's DH, I know people want to see Andrew McCutchen, fine. But Andrew McCutchen likely is not going to be here beyond this year. I got to see somebody in a position where he bats a lot so I can make a judgment. I cannot go into next year thinking, where is he in my roster?
That's what September is for. All right, Bob. We have Bill Madden coming up. This time it's not Bob Nightingale.
What about Joe Madden? He's your next manager.
Is he?
Would he?
Don Kelly's 2-1 right now, Bob.
I understand that.
No, I don't want any part of Joe Madden. Thank you for asking.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And his plantar fasciitis.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.